What else do we want to tackle? Welcome to Still Entitled, the Adam Savage Project. I'm Will Smith.
I'm Adam Savage.
I'm just Norm.
Hey, just Norm.
Just Norm. How you guys doing today?
I'm doing awesome, man. You guys did something that looked really fun yesterday that I've always wanted to do and never got into, judging by social media. But you built a bunch of
Gundam plastic model kits.
Is that the term, Gunpla?
That's what I've always heard it called.
Fans can Gunpla. And I'm not even going to speak to it as if I'm an expert, because I'm not. And there are people who are truly obsessed about this. But it's something like how people are obsessed with Lego in the States and around the world. In China and Japan and in the States, there are a lot of people who are truly obsessed about building these type of plastic model kits. Now, I believe, Adam, that you're not very familiar.
I am not familiar at all. I know that Gundam exists. Mm-hmm. I have never partaken in the hobby.
But and it's something that, you know, people like Guillermo love.
Yeah.
He visited Japan when he made Pacific Rim, and there's a video of him on YouTube.
Wait, he likes giant robots?
It turns out Guillermo loves giant robots.
Some of which explains a lot.
Were influenced by the mecha anime craze in Japan. And I didn't know that there was like a difference. There's mecha, which is mechanical suits, which is what like Pacific
like
Rim is.
Right.
And then there's also just straight up giant robots. I guess Transformers would be different because the robots who are, they're not worn by people.
Right.
And
the robots are their own people.
It's an important distinction. I just like the way they look.
So we should apologize for the jackhammering first.
Yes. They're still going
they're still
on. Still from last week. The water problem is still there. Bandai makes, they own Gundam and the whole Gundam universe, but they've perfected the art of making these model kits that are just snap kits.
Oh, they're snap kits? They're not glue?
Really?
No.
Seriously?
Glue. And the thing we found, because it was our first foray, we did a whole premium video series, you guys can check it on Tesla.com, about building this 1/60th scale kit with over 2,000 parts, and it took us 5 hours with four people.
Wow, 5 hours, four people, and it's all snapped together.
And it's all snapped together.
So you weren't waiting for glue.
So no glue is needed at
all. That's amazing.
All you need are snips. You know, it's all color.
Okay.
It's all you can paint it afterward. So what's impressive is the design of the model kits.
Yeah.
Like if you think about hobby kits in the past, a lot of them snap together. You need glue and you need to finish it. These have a engineering in them where it's not just the shell, but you build up to the shell. So if you're building a robot, you build up the frame. There's articulation.
There's
things
internals.
Internals that you never see when you finish it underneath the armor plating.
Are they like decorative internals or are they structural internals?
Both.
Really?
Yeah.
No way.
Wow.
I've got to get myself one of these.
Yeah, this sounds like the right thing to scratch my OCD itch.
Totally.
And then you assemble it and it's all this brightly colored. There's like four or five different colors of plastic, right?
Right. And the thing we were most impressed by is not only are there different colors of plastic, but just the injection molding technology that they have. You can have one big piece, you know, one frame that's made of maybe four different types of plastic, four different colors, and in an injection molded so you have the rubberized piece alongside.
Oh, it's co-molded.
Yes, co-molded.
Wow.
Three times.
Dude.
In one piece.
I'm speechless.
Yeah.
I had no idea that it had, I mean, you know, I knew my knowledge of that had extended only to that Tamiya had the best molds because they had the tightest castings, but I am but a baby in the woods in my knowledge, given. This is amazing.
Yeah.
I really had no idea.
And there are, I guess there are hundreds, if not like thousands of different kits out there. When I was in China a couple of weeks ago, it was in Hong Kong, and I went to one of these buildings where it's like seven stories of nothing but toy stores, Lego stores, and these Gundam stores. And
wow,
you walk into these shops that are as big as maybe a large closet, a large walk-in closet. And just wall to wall,
amazing.
Are these kits and sets?
So
did you get any?
I did get some there, and also use that as an opportunity to kind of inventory
and see what's out there. So then you can help me pick out a good one.
That's right, and I want to get recommendations. I'm now subscribed to the Reddit r Gunpla subreddit.
Yeah,
so where people
get
and then a lot of those first posts are people who it's their first time building
Gunpla. Doesn't not.
roll.
We're probably pronouncing it wrong.
I don't mean to insult your
gunplay. Maybe gunplay.
You know, I mistakenly thought it was short for Gundam Play, but it's Gundam Plastic. Yeah. It's short for plastic, so I assume it's
because I was a kid, those toys were made of metal.
Micronauts. Remember Micronaut?
No, that's before my time.
Yeah, those are pretty cool. Those are plastic with die cast metal in there. That was really cool.
All I know is I had a couple of aunts and uncles that were like young enough. My dad was the oldest one and I was the first kid in the generation. So like I have an aunt who's 13 years older than me.
Oh, nice.
And when I went to visit the grandparents and would play, she had dope, super dope toys, Oscar from the $6 Million Man.
Oh, Oscar Madison.
She had Oscar Madison. Oscar Goldman.
Oscar Goldman.
And
Oscar Madison is the Odd Couple.
It's a completely different toy set, not for 12-year-olds. But yeah, so she had like the $6 Million Man. You could look through the eye.
It was really cool. So yeah. If she had Oscar Goldman, she had Maskatron.
I think
only time Oscar Goldman was released as a $6 Million toy was with Maskatron, which was a specific villain from the $6 Million Man, and you could change Maskatron from Oscar Goldman to Michael Ironsides to Steve Austin.
Why would you ever take him off Michael Ironsides?
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
There's another guy who needs his own film festival.
Michael Ironsides totally needs his own film festival.
Starship Troopers. Yep. It's just Starship Troopers like six times.
You got
in RoboCop,
Ice
he?
Pirates.
Oh right,
Adventures in the Forbidden Zone and 3D with Molly Ringwald.
Including his voice acting credits. His voice acting credits.
He did a lot of Batman stuff, didn't he?
He has a great voice.
He was a guest doctor on ER for one season.
Oh, yeah.
Am I right that he's in Enter the Dragon? Or is that not Michael Ironsides?
I'd have to look it up to see.
I think it might. Yeah. I haven't watched Enter the Dragon in a long time. And not many people know this, but Peter Sagal, the charming, brilliant, and amazing NPR host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, is a ringer for Michael Ironsides. He looks like a handsomer Michael Ironsides.
I was at a conference that he was at earlier this year, and I was walking around. I was like, is Michael Ironsides here? So he's like, no, that's just Peter Sagal.
Does he walk around with the same kind of authority that Michael Ironsides?
No, he's much more affable.
Peter is much more affable. Yeah. And I suspect that Michael Ironsides is probably a really awesome guy.
He seems like he might be kind of a teddy bear when he's off camera.
Exactly.
But we were talking about Gunpla.
We're going to find some model kits and maybe bring them into the cave. And I think it's more to find one that you like aesthetically.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I mean, you want a kit that's going to be fun to assemble too. I'm sure there's some that are not.
I mean, they're all different, like grades.
The idea that it snapped together amazes me because I had no idea. In general, my experience with snap together kits is they're just like regular kits, only worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and for babies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And for babies.
For babies. Here you go, baby.
Well, no.
Here's some small parts. Don't put them up your nose.
They will. You know what else is snapped together?
What's
snapped Lego
together?
Is also snapped together.
Yeah, but Lego is... There's an art to Lego. As a kid...
Now you're just being churlish.
When we got into the... When I was building models, like I just went straight to the glue together section because glue is for big kids and snap together is for babies. But this does not sound like it is for babies.
No.
Do you have a model kit from your childhood that specifically like changed...
F-16.
Yeah.
You know, it was actually F-15 Eagle.
For me, it was a patent tank. The Tamiya patent
that's
tank.
That's a good one.
I painted the crap out of that with like mud on the, you know, yeah. Mm.
I did a MiG-29 and an F-16, and I did appropriate paints. Like I masked out the straight edge camouflage and all that stuff, which was a nightmare.
Wow.
And, yeah, and did like I used the same masks for both and just held them up, and yeah, it was good.
And F-15 for you?
F-15 Shrek Eagle.
How deep did you go into the cockpit? Like, did you...
Not...
No.
I mean, I painted the console, but badly.
This is something I see on... I love cockpits. I have a whole folder full of pictures of them, and I sometimes glory over... the online community of people who just do cockpits, every instrument, every button, every switch. It's really lovely. I was also recently looking at amazing paper models of the Mercury cockpit from Mercury Capsule.
That's the thing that's going to go away sometime in the future. The cockpits will lose all their buttons.
Yep.
And there's going to be touchscreens.
Well, they won't have
maybe two buttons like in the Tesla.
Yeah.
Oh, which I wrote in.
That was
last
a nice
week.
Segue.
Nice.
Which
well
Tesla?
Done.
Yes.
Wrote the Model 3?
Model X. Model 3. No, there's no Model 3.
I saw, Gina swears she saw one driving around San Francisco the other
what?
Day.
Well, I'm pretty sure that's probable.
There's two, I think, that they made by hand. So they're the most expensive, cheap Teslas ever.
Wow.
Because you know their process, right? They first they carve out the body shape with right. a giant industrial mill,
mm-hmm.
and then they take all the components of one and build it by hand, like engineers not on the line, to make sure that it all goes together and works, and then do the road tests and stuff like that.
I'm sorry, I forced the segue. I want to continue talking about model the cockpits.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
the cockpits. I thought that was such a good.
No, it was
good,
a good segue.
But I forced
I'm
it.
I'm so glad, Norm.
The cockpits. The cockpits were interesting.
The cockpits were
yes.
I spent an hour going through that Apollo 11 VR thing last night.
Yeah,
which basically it's narrated by Buzz Aldrin. I think they go through and they use the actual stock recordings,
right? Capcom
yeah. and like all that stuff. The amazing thing about it is that it puts you in the cockpit of both the Columbia command module and the LEM at different times, and you can. Like, because it's VR, you can just lean forward and look at the knobs and dials.
Wow.
I was a little bummed because they weren't all articulated. They aren't all, like, actually animated and stuff. Mm-hmm. But even the ones that aren't, it's like, you never get to look at that stuff up close anymore. Because when I was a kid, you used to be able to get in the command modules at science museums. And right, I think they don't even let you in those anymore.
Yeah.
Probably
like climbing into the gunners, the circular mm-hmm. polycarbonate gunner's turret on a bomber.
The bottom of a the death cannon on a B-17.
All you have to do is look at that and see all of Star Wars in that
one piece
of equipment.
Yeah.
There's a device in the Apollo module that's also in the Mercury module.
Ooh, the concrete saw.
What?
They have a concrete saw now.
Oh, I love that. I have a one of those Husqvarna cutoff,
the chain,
abrasive cutoff saws. I can cut a car in half.
Yeah, yeah.
I have, actually, with that very device.
It's been documented.
It's been documented. But wait, there is an instrument on the dashboard. A dashboard of mm-hmm. an Apollo 11?
Mm-hmm. Control panel?
Control sure. panel. It's the Earth. It's the Earth gauge that shows you where you are above Earth. So it's a globe that turns depending on where you are over the Earth.
Yeah. That's only useful on orbit.
No, I know. It's the most beautiful gauge. I actually occasionally I go on eBay and I buy small globes. I'm still searching for like the ideal little globe that has that right feel to make a gauge.
Don't you think they just bought one off the shelf back then? You didn't make one, probably, right? To make the gauge.
Those are probably
one-off gauges.
The artist
they probably are one-off gauges.
From NASA. I mean, I guess in the far future, when we do go beyond the solar system, that would be a very nice thing to have. Like, that would be the compass home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, always let you know what direction the blue dot is.
Well, so it was interesting, the Apollo 11 thing, because it got me thinking about like the rise of augmented reality and how that's going to impact
Right.
And things like self-driving cars. We're not going to have dashboards in cars in 20 years. There's no reason to put a dashboard in a self-driving car.
Right.
It's just wasted space.
We won't have pilots. We won't have drivers.
Yeah.
We'll have passengers.
Just trust the machine, man.
So
you're still going to need, if the Internet of Things is any harbinger, I'm still going to want to keep a gas-burning car somewhere.
So,
in case of a societal collapse.
Well, let's just Tesla say that. Superchargers.
I'm secretly a prepper in my mind.
You are a prepper. yes.
It's nice to, you know, preppers are all self, they all want to self-fulfill their prophecies.
Have you seen Cloverfield yet?
No, Cloverfield Lane? No, I haven't.
Okay, so
it's a lot to do. I haven't gotten around to all
of it. I know. The cockpit thing, so have you seen Jeremy's pinball, VR pinball game?
I haven't played it.
Okay, so he basically built the...
Oh, right, he built a console
It's just the end of the pinball machine that you interact with, and he uses it when he's playing the VR pinball game, lines it up,
brilliant.
And works brilliantly. There's a whole world of those kinds of crazy sim games. There was a great article in, I think, The Guardian the other day about people who play things like London Subway Simulator and Bus Driving Simulator and Euro Truck Simulator and Farm Simulator. And I think that there's a cottage industry in building custom control panels for like your London Subway train so that you have all the physical switches and knobs and dials in the right place.
I totally agree.
When you're in your VRs.
I did a VR experience at TED where at one point you reached out to grab a torch
mm-hmm.
and to, in the virtual space, reach out and find a thing where it should be and put your hands around it.
It's magic.
Satisfying. Yeah, yeah. It was very satisfying.
Yeah. And all it needs to be in the real world is just a stick with three balls on it.
That's true.
Too many.
One too many, it turns out. This podcast isn't for children, by the way.
It's a family show.
I was talking about tracking markers.
Oh, my bad.
I'm having trouble concentrating this morning.
I want to hear about your Model X ride.
Yeah, so one of our listeners and viewers, Christian, who actually gave us a test ride on his Model S a couple of years ago, he got his Model X, which is the one they just released. It's basically an SUV crossover.
Yeah. Doors
it's
go
the
like
bigger
this.
Version. It has the doors
the gull wing
that
doors.
Go like this.
Is it, that's just the back doors, though, right?
It's just the passenger doors,
okay.
Not the front doors. But it also has Tesla's autopilot, which is a feature they started putting into their cars last year. It's an
just
optional
software.
Feature.
Yeah. Well, there's some sensors and stuff.
Okay. Yeah, so you have to have a car that has not only your radar sensors, your proximity sensors, your radar sensors for adaptive cruise control, but also has optical cameras that look at the road. And, you know, if you told me that Tesla, you know, put 50 people on a team to develop a system that could then send your car to drive to LA by itself, that sounds crazy. But it works. It totally, totally works. And it is freaky.
Wow.
So I sat in the driver's seat.
Changing lanes and stuff?
Changing lanes. You sit in the driver's seat, and the cruise control switch, which is just like your light switch, your turn signal, you flip it, and you flip it again, flip it twice, and then two lights turn on, and it basically is smart adaptive cruise control. So
on that's how you wake up Skynet.
Yeah. If you activate 100 of them, then it's a fleet.
You do it three times.
It would be amazing,
and
it'd be amazing if you do it twice and it just starts going, dun 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 dun.
I'm Connor. Getting a knocking sound.
Yeah. Oh, it's just the terminal. It's in the trunk. It's fine. John Connor's not anywhere near
the freeway
here.
And you hear Sarah Connor's voice. If you can teach a machine to love, then maybe there's hope for us after all.
Well done. Full marks. Norm wins.
So it looks at the lanes and it can see the markers, and you take your hands off the steering wheel.
That's terrifying.
Off the pedal, off the brake, and then you can say, I want to change lanes, and it will change lanes.
But so you signal with the turn signal?
If you touch any three of those, does it give back to your control?
So if you hold on, so the steering wheel actually still turns. So it's still...
But you can override.
But you can override. So it's like force feedback. You can just grab it, or if you tap the brake, then it gives you full control.
Wow.
If you tap the accelerator, it gives you full control back. So we're all comfortable with the idea, you know, maybe in 10 years, in 15 years of self-driving, fully autonomous cars.
Yeah, I'm fine with it right now.
We are fully the passengers.
Right.
Right. And when you get into the car, maybe it's Google's car, and there won't even be a steering wheel in their car because they believe so much.
I've been reading about that it's a bad idea to have a steering wheel in an autonomous car because you're not paying enough attention for that to be useful to you.
Well, and exactly. if it's mechanically connected and it's actually turning, you could hurt yourself if it needs to swerve or something like that.
So to be in the full mindset of a passenger, if we trust the car, that's going to be fine. If everyone trusts the car, you know, statistically there will be fewer accidents, but until we get there, we're going to be in these stopgap situations where you have cars out of both,
right?
Where you can drive and optionally you can have the autopilot. And that state of being in the driver's seat where you feel like you should be driving, but you aren't, but you're also kind of you could be a passenger.
Yeah.
That is the weird limbo state. That freaks me out.
I want that. I want that experience. Can you arrange that for me?
Yeah, we can totally. Because you can imagine... You can trust a computer 80% of the time, maybe even less. So it's a beta product right now. But if you're going down 6 hours LA, there's no way with that on you're going to be fully concentrated on the road.
But I mean, I'm going to be honest. By the time I hit Grapevine and start going up the giant mountain, if I haven't gotten out of the car and walked around some, I'll have a hard time being fully conscious of the road then.
But you'll be I wonder if there's natural flavorings in this mango lassi as you're driving.
What is on Twitter today?
Hey, my wife texted me 18 times. I wonder if it's anything important.
Right. The idea that Tesla tells you that even with this feature on, you should pay your full attention to the road as if you were still the driver.
It's just the lawyers talking.
That's not reasonable because your brain, if you're not... second to second focused on driving, you just can't be as engaged.
And sorry, we buried the lead. First of all, let me just say that I also got a drive in a Tesla last week. I was in LA and my friend Lloyd Braun let me drive his Tesla. Woohoo!
Wow.
And
I'd be afraid to drive Lloyd's Tesla.
No, that was great. It was awesome. And he had me like back up. He had me like back off the cars ahead and then goose the throttle. And holy hell, amazing.
Yeah.
But we're totally bearing the lead. I was at SpaceX last week. I got to see some of the Rocket Factory, which is incredible. And I was there on Thursday.
Wait, they ship those rockets from the West Coast to the East Coast to launch?
I believe so.
Oh, wow.
I don't know that.
Maybe they just built the engines
there. I don't know the answer
there.
To that.
Anyway, okay,
but congratulations to SpaceX for successfully landing on their ocean-going landing platform.
The drone barge.
Totally amazing. I can't believe we didn't bring it up last week. We're kind of idiots.
I mean,
really,
it was the jackhammers that got us all off.
It is. But the footage of the rocket landing on the platform.
Well, so that and the Blue Origin. Did you see the Blue Origin landing too?
I did.
So that they come in unbelievably fast.
Yeah.
And so here's a fun game. If you have Kerbal Space Program, which is a video game that mimics the way rockets work, it's a rocket simulator basically. You can try this.
Oh, really?
You can build a rocket in Kerbal that will let you land the first stage on the maybe not a barge, but on the ground again.
Okay.
And even in a video game, it's incredibly difficult. The fact that they come in basically not uncontrolled, but just enough thrust to keep it in the right orientation, and then at the last minute goose it when it's the least fuel in the system, and it's incredible.
It's an amazing, amazing achievement, and it's one of the high watermarks for the commercial space industry.
Well, it's important for two reasons. One is that something like 60 or 70% of the cost of a launch is in that first stage.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to reuse that is incredibly, incredibly powerful. I got conflicting things, I guess, depending on how you measure stories, but it's the equivalent of an 18 to 25 story building high that they're landing on a barge that's smaller than smaller than a football field.
And just as complicated, just as complex from an engineering standpoint as the rocket that's landing on it. I mean, all this amazing technology for the two to be able to talk to each other.
That's just it. Like, if you can reduce the cost of a launch. Now, of course, we've heard this reusable space stuff is going to make things really cheap before, because that was the promise of the space shuttle.
Yeah.
I mean, it remains to be seen how much of the stuff that they get back in those first stages is reusable.
Well, they're retiring that engine, but they did test fire it and it fired up perfectly.
I think it's incredible, but the hesitation is that it's so difficult to see space scaling. Because we've never seen it scale before.
Right.
We've done, we've built, you can count on the number of your fingers how many shuttles and how many of these rockets we've done. And I think you have to look to maybe a different part of space, maybe just how routines like satellite launches are these days. And the fact, like, you looked at like something like that, and that's where SpaceX wants to take spaceflight.
Right.
To where
human
spaceflight.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where it can be as routine as launching a satellite in space.
It was amazing. So I think that's a great
mad props
to end. Mad props to SpaceX for their successful landing.
From Gundam from the mechanized robots to,
to the mechanized spaceships.
Yes, man. That's how we're going to get there.
Always looking at the big picture.
When can we get exosuits? That's all I want. I want something that lets me lift up a car.
They're here. They're here.
But they're assistive. I want something that makes me super strong. It's a superhero suit.
No, but it's the Mechabots. The
Megabots.
Yeah, the Megabots.
But those are like tanks.
I'll take you out there. I have an invite.
Okay.
We can go see just how close to your childhood
I will totally
they are.
Go okay. and shoot some giant cannons with
Excellent.
You at the robots.
Good.
And on that, Norm, what's on the site this week? Anything exciting?
We are actually this week down in L.A. For the film. Speaking of the killer robots, the BattleBots are filming this week. If you're in L.A., by the time you listen, the tickets might still be available. If you want to see a filming, they're doing it all this week in L.A. But we'll be down there to check it out. I'm in LA, and then Monsterpalooza is this weekend also in LA. So Frank and I will be there.
Very
and
cool.
If you're in that area, in Pasadena, hope to see you there.
I have to say about the BattleBots, Norm and I were there last year.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to be super stoked about what is essentially robot wrestling.
Yeah.
But it turns out the moment the lights come down in the theater and the robots line up and they start spinning these massive amounts of kinetic energy around, and you know that they're about to collect 250 pounds of robot, 500 pounds total, is going to, you just, it's really exciting.
And I have seen some of the contestants. I've seen some preliminary pictures of some of the robots, and it's amazing. And I want to point out that when you see spinning robots, you have Jamie Hyneman to thank. Blendo was the very first of all the centrifugally powered nightmare death machines.
Nothing more terrifying than a giant titanium blade that weighs like 200 pounds spinning at 20,000 RPMs.
Next time we do this next time we do Still Untitled, remind me, I'll tell you the story of the first time we fired up Blendo.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to hear that.
1993. But that was the second. Yeah, we did the first annual Robot Wars.
Woo-hoo. There we go. See you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.